Okay, good morning, everybody. How are you today? No long answers allowed. Last week, Alex introduced one of Sheffield Vineyard's five virtues, and that is we are to be kingdom carriers. And if you want to know exactly what that means, you can find it on the Sheffield Vineyard website, but it says, we carry the authority of the King and move in the power of the Holy Spirit with faith and expectancy, and without being weird, to bring healing and faith to Him. And we're going to continue to unpack this today, thinking especially about what it means to do the stuff which Jesus did when he was on earth. And if you weren't here last week, I recommend that you look at the Sheffield Vineyard website and you listen to Alex's talk, which will be very helpful. And I'd like to begin by just reminding you a little bit about the nature of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was one of the things which Jesus talked about more than almost anything else when he was on this earth. And although the kingdom has come, there is a sense in which it is not fully visible. It will only be fully visible when Jesus returns. And Alex told us that the kingdom does not refer to a place like a nation state, but it refers to the rule and reign of God. And so those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ are actually influenced by two kingdoms and two kings. There is Jesus, who is the King of the kingdom of God, and there is also Satan, who is the usurper prince of this world, as he's described in the New Testament. And our situation is rather like someone who decides to change their citizenship. Now, today, of course, the weather's not too bad, but it is a bit cold. But over the last few weeks, you might think, I've had enough of England. I don't want any more of this horrible, miserable rain and wind and cold. I'm going to go to Singapore. I'm going to become a Singaporean citizen. Lovely hot weather, warm sea, clean streets, safe to go out at night. No, don't go because we need you in Sheffield, okay? But anyway, fantastic. So you become a Singaporean citizen. There's only one problem. You can't actually afford the fare to get out there. So you're stuck in England. So because you're in England, you're still kind of under the sort of the British system, aren't you? You can't go around breaking speed limits. If you've got a job, you've got to pay taxes. But if the Singapore government looks at you lot, particularly young men, you know what they're going to say to you? You've got to come out to Singapore. You've got to do national service and join the army. That'd be fun for you, wouldn't it? But can you see, you're kind of in two kingdoms, Singapore and Britain. And it's no good saying, well, I live in England. You're still under that other influence. And it's the same for us as Christians, because we've actually joined a new kingdom. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. And he says we have been transferred or rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. But we still live in this world, don't we? We're still influenced by what's going on in this place. And we still have times when we feel tempted, times of weakness and so on. And you might think, well, why? Why doesn't Jesus take us away? Why doesn't Jesus take us to be with him so we don't have any of the negative things about being in this world? Well, Jesus longs that everyone should come to know him. That is his heart. And so he leaves us here to take the kingdom, carry the kingdom to people who do not yet know him. And for those of us committed to Sheffield Vineyard, our heart is that our city might be full of people who are full of life. And so today I want us to think about what it means to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the kingdom of God breaks into the kingdom of darkness, a kingdom which is marked by violence, injustice, sickness, hunger, broken relationships, damaged creation, and so on. Now, if we go back to Jesus, when Jesus came into this world, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God was seen in miraculous ways. The sick were healed. The dead were raised. People were delivered from demons. Thousands of hungry people were fed. Storms were stilled. And when the kingdom breaks in, miracles happen. Now, many of us here will know that the Vineyard churches were founded by a man called John Wimber. And before he became a Christian, before he met Christ, he was a beer-guzzling, drug-abusing pop musician. But when he met Christ, he picked up his Bible and he started reading the stories about Jesus. And he discovered that Jesus did amazing things, and these really thrilled his heart. And so he asked one of the leaders of his church, when do we get to do the stuff? You know, the stuff here in the Bible. Healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the blind, stuff like that. And so he asked one of his church leaders this, and they said, well, we don't do this stuff anymore. We just do, you know, the things we do in our weekly services. And he said, you mean I gave up drugs for that? And this morning, I want us to put our focus on the stuff. And so as we examine our role of kingdom carriers, we're going to answer or look at three questions. And some of these may have already popped into your mind. The first question is this. Why don't we just preach the good news? Do we really need to do the stuff? Well, it's true that the good news has the power to change lives. The work of the kingdom of God is not restricted to the miraculous. Indeed, the kingdom is extended whenever the love of God is shed abroad, whenever society is transformed and the creation is restored. Do you remember the story of the despised tax collector Zacchaeus and how Jesus saw him up a tree and he welcomed him and he went to his home and how Zacchaeus's life was completely transformed as he turned away from corruption and dishonesty. And in the end, Jesus said, he said this, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. In other words, this man who'd been excluded from society because of his sin was welcomed back, and he was welcomed back into the kingdom of God. An amazing story showing the extension of the kingdom. Yep. It's certainly true that the kingdom of God can break in without the miraculous. But God, in his mercy, works in miraculous ways to give us foretastes of the coming kingdom. The time when there will be no suffering, no sickness, no pain, no death, no hunger. And what's more, he knows the hardness of our hearts. Jesus, in some exasperation, told a man whose son was very sick, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." And I think he sort of felt, well, you ought to believe just by hearing the word, but he knew they needed to see something. And so in his mercy, he still works by giving us wonders as a sign of the coming kingdom and also to help us to believe in him. When Paul and Barnabas were in Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, we read that they spoke boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. And much later, Paul wrote this of his ministry: "I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what God's accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God." And when you look at those two verses, you see that the stuff firstly confirms the truth of the gospel, and secondly helps people to believe, to come to faith in Christ. Now let me tell you a story. Some of you will know that we used to live in Mongolia. And when we were there, we had to learn the language. And we had a very nice language teacher who was an older woman. And as time went by, we encouraged her to use the Bible to teach us the language. And she was actually very negative about Christian things. And she didn't really like the Bible. She complained about it. We took her to church and she didn't like the sermon. She nudged me and said, "Did you notice that he used an accusative case and that verb takes the dative case?" And so we prayed. And then there was a big healing rally in the city. And to be honest, we were not over-enthused by this rally because the guy that was the chief honcho of this thing had the most dreadful theology. But, you know, I've learned over the years that God loves to use people that we don't like very much. Anyway, she went along to this with her father. And her father was quite disabled. He could only just walk. He had sticks and so on. And after the meeting, this woman came up to her father and said, "Would you like to be healed?" And he said, "Yes, please." She prayed for him. He was completely healed. He walked twice around the stadium. When he got home, he zoomed up four flights of stairs, didn't need his stick. And as a bonus gift, he was completely healed of a prostate problem. He used to be up in the night umpteen times, completely healed. He'd never asked prayer for that. The next, well, a few days later, our language teacher came round to our house and she was ready to believe in Jesus. And she believed, and her father believed as well. And there were other reasons, a whole host of other reasons why she came to faith. But the thing that really did it for her was when she saw God acting in love and compassion. It was when she saw that her heart was opened to believe. Now, maybe some of you are quite good at sharing the good news. Maybe you're good at answering questions when people ask you things about your faith. And if so, that's wonderful. But I would also suggest to you or ask you, are you ready to do this stuff? Because it may be that when God moves in power, people will be more willing to make that commitment to Christ. So the first question we've looked at is, why don't we just preach the good news? Do we really need to do this stuff? And the answer is, the stuff reveals the kingdom and helps open the way for people to come to faith. Now, the second question is one we began to look at last week. What about when the stuff doesn't happen? You pray for someone and nothing happens. What then? Well, Alex shared how the person you've prayed for, even though they may not be healed or have their prayer answered, may realize that they are loved by God. And actually, the same thing happened to me quite recently. Someone in the church prayed for me. Now, I'm not going to say who it was, except they've got a wooden leg and green hair, but otherwise I'm not going to identify them. And they prayed for me, and a very specific prayer. And their prayer has not been answered. I really believe God is going to answer this prayer, but as yet it's not been answered. But you know, as they prayed for me, I had an overwhelming sense of the love of God. And when we step out to do this stuff, we don't know what will happen. Sometimes amazing things transpire, and sometimes they don't. Why wasn't Paul healed of his eye condition? It opened the way for him to go to Galatia and preach the gospel. Why was Paul not able to give healing to his best mate Timothy, who suffered from frequent illnesses, we read in 1 Timothy? We don't know. But when we do the stuff, we are called to be faithful and to leave the results in God's hands. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to test you because I think you know the answer to this, I'm sure. According to John Wimber, how do we spell the word faith? R-I-S-K. Well, at least one person at the back of the room knows that one. I think probably more of you do, but you're probably a bit shy about yelling it out. You see, there is a risk in stepping out to do the stuff. Where there is no risk, there is no faith. Without risk, we may just have presumption. I know God is going to do something. Or worse than that, we make God our servant, you know, little better than the genie in Aladdin's lamp. And we think we can kind of conjure up God to do whatever we want on our terms. So what about when stuff doesn't happen? What should be our attitude? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says this: "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And the Apostle Paul knew that doing the stuff was not always easy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he says this: "I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles." He did wonders in his ministry, but he says here this is not just a kind of clicking of your fingers and pulling the rabbit out of the hat. It required perseverance. I persevered in doing this demonstration. Sometimes things worked fine, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes it was easy, sometimes it was difficult. And we too need to keep going even when it's difficult and things don't work out as we hope. So the answer to our second question, what about when the stuff doesn't happen, is that we should persevere because we know the results are in God's hands. So give it a try. Don't worry about what's going to happen. That's not our responsibility. It's God's. Right, third question, the final question. Isn't doing the stuff just for the super gifted? What if I'm not gifted to do the stuff? Before Jesus returned to heaven, he sent out his disciples to make followers of himself, to baptize them, to teach them everything that he taught his disciples. That includes driving out demons, healing the sick, and so on. But what's interesting, we know those verses very well. The verse before, that's Matthew 28, verse 17, says this: when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, can you believe it? They'd seen Jesus raised from the dead. They'd seen, 3 years of miracles, and yet they doubted. Did Jesus write them off? Did Jesus say, well, now you lot over there, you've got doubts, so you can go home, go back to your fishing. The rest of you, come on, let's go and do the stuff. No. He sent them all out. Warts and all, doubts and all. And some of us, there can be a number of things going on here. One of the things that may be going on is that we doubt we've got the gifts we need when actually we have. I think of a Baptist pastor who we knew, who one day was on a pastoral visit, and a woman said to him, please will you pray for my healing? And this guy, he did not believe in healing. He did not believe in a God who heals. So he was extremely uncomfortable. But the lady was quite persuasive. So he said a quick prayer, and he got out as quick as possible. The next day she rang up and said, I'm completely healed. And this man discovered he had an amazing healing gift. And over the years that followed, many people were healed. And maybe you don't really know what your gifts are. And I would exhort you, especially those of you who are younger, to try things. Evangelism, healing, children's work, leading a life group, music ministry. You'll be surprised at the gifts you've got. It may be something very different from what you expect. You see, we all have a number of gifts. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the church as a body. And we're not all legs, we're not all feet, we're not all eyes, we're different. And many of us have one or two gifts that really stand out. In fact, sometimes people will recognize we have a ministry of healing or teaching or prophecy or evangelism. I think of one woman who we knew who I had to supervise when she was on a month's block placement. And I asked her to write a little report every day of what she'd done. And I was so moved because every day, almost, she led someone to Christ. Sometimes more than one person. And I thought, wow, what an amazing gift. But sometimes when we hear that story, we get discouraged. We think, that's not me. And that may be true, but just because we don't excel in a particular gift, for example, healing, it doesn't mean we will never be able to exercise it. Now, let me say that again. Just because we don't excel in a particular gift, it does not mean we will never be able to exercise it. When you look at the example of the Apostle Paul, quite interesting. When he first went to Corinth, he wrote about it later when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians. He said, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. He was dreading what would happen. He didn't show a lot of faith. But later on in his life, he's in this ship about to hit the rocks. Everyone in this ship is going to be thrown into the sea. And what does he say to the people on the ship? Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. And on that occasion, God gave him a supernatural gift of faith just when he needed it. And it can be the same for us. At the point when we need a special gift, God may give it to us. I remember on one occasion being told that a woman we knew had a really bad leg. I forget now whether it was leg or ankle. And I just felt the Lord saying, go and lay hands on her and pray for her. And to be honest, physical healing is not my number one gift by any means. But I felt the Lord saying, go. And she was healed. And all of us need to be ready to step out in faith when the occasion arises. You see, doing the stuff is not just going out on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on encounter, Jesus at the door, healing on the streets, and so on. That's fantastic. But all of us must be prepared to do the stuff. You know, the Scouts' motto, isn't it, is be prepared. We should be even more prepared to do the stuff. Now, last week, one of the verses which Alex quoted was Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Some versions translate that as the kingdom of God is within you. And I think if we get hold of that, that should transform our attitude. You see, when we are kingdom carriers, we don't pick up the kingdom, take it out to the least, the lonely, and the lost, and when we come home, put it on the sideboard and watch the TV. That kingdom is within us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God's kingdom can break out and touch people's lives and situations. In our families, in our workplaces or places of study, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, we should be ready to do the stuff. I mentioned a minute ago about the Apostle Paul being shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And I'm sure it was an incredibly traumatic experience. He was thrown into the water, washed up on the shore. Almost as soon as he got out of the water, he was bitten by a snake. And on top of that, his whole mind was, I must get to Rome, I must get to Rome. I've got to come before the Caesar to talk about Jesus. And if I do that, what will happen? Maybe I'll get thrown to the lions. And then he hears about this guy who's sick with dysentery. And he prays, he lays hands on him, and the guy's healed. In fact, a load of other people are healed as well. Paul was not too busy to say, well, I haven't got time to do the stuff. He was always prepared. We had a message recently from a friend of ours, and in her workplace, there's a Muslim woman, And she noticed that she had something wrong with her, and she said, "Can I pray for you?" And she wrote to us, "Please pray that she will come to church with me." We should always be prepared. You see, you don't have to have a mega upfront ministry with your own web page to be used by God to do the stuff. You don't have to be a hyper extrovert to do the stuff. God can use very quiet people who find it impossible to speak to strangers. You don't have to have an unusual gifting to be used by God to do the stuff. All of us can be used by the King in the power of his Holy Spirit. And maybe we should just think a little bit about, never mind about going out onto the streets, think of even about the people we know. Who is the person I should be reaching out to with the love of Christ? Who should I be offering to pray for? Who are the people in need who I should be offering to help? So in summary, we've looked at three questions. Number one, why don't we just preach the good news? Do we really need to do the stuff? The stuff reveals the kingdom and opens the way for the good news. Question two, what about when the stuff doesn't happen? We persevere because the results are in God's hands. Question three, isn't doing the stuff just for the super gifted? All of us can be used in the power of the Holy Spirit.